If you will, open your Bibles with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. This is a story of Naaman the leper. Naaman the leper. If you've never heard this story, I'm thrilled. I could be the first person to tell you about it. That would excite me so much. Someone's, who are you talking about? What's a leper? Who is Naaman? Oh, what I'd give to tell somebody that's never heard this. And if you know this story, I pray tonight you can hear it like you've never heard it before. If we could hear it for the first time. The Lord has saved His people. He is saving His people, and He shall save His people. I hope we can hear it tonight for the first time. It says in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. She was a servant to her. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus. Oh, if the Lord would teach us thus and thus. Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go. I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter has come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes, he tore them off of him, and said, Am I God? That king knew something, didn't he? To kill and to make alive, that this man doth send me unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, think about this, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. This is a setup. That king of Assyria is doing this, knowing I can't fulfill his request, and he's going to attack me. A child would know better than this. Certainly a king. He has advisors. I can't do that. I can't heal a man of his leprosy. This is a ruse. It says in verse 8, And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Why are you upset? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go, and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. That wouldn't do. And he went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith thee, Wash and be clean, something you do every day. Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel, but in his people. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Let me give you something. I want to give you an offering. We know that this story is true. So many people, they walk around, they have the scriptures in their hands, they carry the Word of God. They put it in their cars so other people can see it. They think they know God. And they say, boy, look, what a story. What a story. Oh, what a good moral lesson about humility. That's not the case. This is a true story. This physically happened. This isn't something they told their children not to entertain them. This is an entertainment. This physically happened. Like Brother Tom just read there in Luke 4. Right before Christ went down to Nazareth to preach, He was going to define the sovereign mercy of God to those people. He said to all those that were keeping Sabbaths, all those legalistic, ceremonial Israelites, all those who assumed, because they had the Scriptures and they read it themselves, and the way that seemed right to man was, my heritage, because of who my mommy and daddy are, I'm God's child. And He said to them, there were so many widows in the land of Israel in the days of the prophets, and God did not feed a one of them except for that Gentile woman. Oh, they got mad. That goes against me. My birthright. And He said, there's many lepers in that land of Israel in the days of Elisha, and God didn't heal any of them. He healed Naaman, a Gentile. The Lord Jesus used this message right here to tell them, God will save anybody. I'm a nobody telling everybody about a God that can save anybody. We talked about this morning, didn't we? What hope? That's a Gentile's hope. I've been trying to tell our brethren that in San Diego. We have a high priest. To us, that means nothing. We don't know what that means. Boy, that's something. We don't even have the form and the type and the picture to look at. We don't have that tabernacle out here pinched. So we can go be reminded of how the Lord can be just and justify sinners. How a sinner can be just before God. All the pictures are there. All of it pointing to the same person. Not the same thought, not the same idea, not the same systematic theology. To a person. Person. I know this story is true because our Lord spoke of it. And secondly, they knew that was true too. All those Israelites did. That's why they got mad. They knew Naaman was just. They would have got mad on a lie. Secondly, I know that this story, it's not to teach lepers to go physically get in the River Jordan to be healed of their leprosy. That River Jordan won't do a thing for physical leprosy. I know that. You know that. A leper can't be healed by dipping 7 times in some river. It has no power to cure leprosy. None whatsoever. There's nothing physically a man can do to heal himself of leprosy. That's the picture. Ain't nothing we can do. Someone must do this for us, huh? But I know this. Naaman could never have been healed of leprosy if he didn't go down into that River Jordan. Who was Naaman? Who was Naaman? This was a vessel of honor to the Lord, declared before this world was ever made. He was a child of God, just as all His children were. This was declared beforehand. But he had not been used of the Lord yet to bow to Christ. He hadn't been humbled before the feet of Christ, but of His Savior. And he wasn't even a Jew. He was a Gentile. But God had used this pagan Gentile general to bring deliverance to Syria. It says there in verse 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. A leper. Boy, that's a whole lot of good things and one bad, isn't it? Look at this great man. Brought so much honor to our country. So much goods and riches to our country. Oh, he's a good fellow. Now he happens to be, he's got a little bit of leprosy. That's what it's saying. He was a great man. He had all these accolades. Boy, isn't that every one of us? I wasn't a general. I had a lot to brag on myself about. Other people bragged about me. I got some awards and things when I was in the military. Well, so I wasn't in the military, Kevin. I wasn't like Naaman. I wasn't like you. Well, you know, so-and-so, he's a good father. Oh, she's such a good mother. They're good children, ain't they? Oh, he's a hard worker. I'm proud of him. Got a good work ethic. Proud of him. That's us. Every one of us. And we all have a disease. We all have pride in this flesh and a disease in this flesh, and it's called sin. That's what leprosy always typifies. It's incurable. It runs throughout and it gets worse and it gets worse and it smells bad and it looks bad and we try our best to cover it up. Do anything we can. But something's going to have to change for Naaman and for us. We're going to have to be made to see. Made to see that we're a leper who happens to be mighty and honorable and all these other things. I'm a leper that happens to be a dad. I'm a leper that happens to be a brother or a sister or a child or a son. I'm a leper who happens to be a preacher. But be made to see that. What this disease is. And that disease is in every one of us, isn't it? We can't fix ourselves. We can't do nothing for it. And the Scriptures tell us there is none good. No! That's stopping that thought that's in her head. Nobody's good. What about Grandma? No! Not one. None is good. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. Nobody's got a good handle on this. There's none that seeketh after God. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've everyone turned to our own way that we think's right, what seems good to us. And our sins have separated us from a holy God. That's the only person we ever sin against. I can offend you. I could physically hurt you. I could do damage to your property. And ain't a lick of sin towards you. It's to the holy God I offended. That's what David said, wouldn't it? Against thee and thee only have I sinned, done this evil in your sight. What did the prodigal say? Daddy, I'm sorry. I sinned against you. He said, I've sinned against the Lord and I've done it in your presence. That breaks my heart. There's been times in some of you all's presences, I've sinned against the Lord, but I did it against Him. That's who I sinned against. But God's able. We can't. I hope I brought you down when you ain't got no hope in yourself whatsoever or nobody else around you. But God's able. How is it this mighty man who happens to be a leper, how is he going to be made whole? How is he going to be see what he is and see who his hope is? He's going to have to go down. People say, I want to grow in faith. It's going to go this way. I want to grow in grace. You're going to grow down, ain't you? He's going to have to be humbled. And he's going to have to willingly repent. Willfully and earnestly beg for mercy. This proud man is going to have to beg. He's going to have to become a mercy beggar. Nebuchadnezzar said that. King Nebuchadnezzar said, God is able to abase the proud. That's an experiential message he had. He had experienced that. He had lived that because the Lord made him walk around on all fours with it. Every one of us. Ain't nobody in their right mind that wants to go to hell. No sane person that says, I want to go to heaven. Well, there in Genesis, heaven's capitalized, ain't it? That's capital H. I want to go to a person. I want to see him. That's who I want to be with. How are we going to be made willing in that day? He's going to have to make us willing in the day of his power. Every one of us. How will Naaman learn these things? How's he going to learn about all this? Is he going to come to his own? I'm going to lock myself in the basement for 6 months. I'm going to get me a bunch of commentaries. I'm going to figure this out. No. A preacher's going to have to come to him. Somebody's going to have to tell him about this. Tell him the Lord is preached in truth. And who that truth is. Naaman and any other sinner saved by God's grace is going to have to be pointed to Christ. Someone's going to have to do it. Our Lord said. Well, if we could chew on that word for a couple of days. He spoke. He's going to preach to his people. Someone's going to tell someone. Now, is that a fancy job? Am I envied for me standing up here and y'all sitting down there? This is filled by distinguished believers. Is that what it is? Once you've matured enough, then you can tell somebody about Jesus, about the man who saves his people from their sins. God used an unnamed servant girl. Right here. Look in verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. She carried her shoes around, cleaned them. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now she didn't know Elisha, but she knew of him. She knew where Christ was preached. And she told her mistress, that fellow servant, if it pleases God, Naaman could be recovered. You know what they're probably doing when this happens? They're probably out there washing clothes. And they said, you know, Naaman, that boy, that leprosy's growing today, isn't it? She said, if he could meet Elisha, that's what he needs. He will have to be under the gospel, and the Lord will have to be pleased to do it, but that's his only hope. And it's a sure hope. It says there, for he would. For he would. Verse 3 says, and she said unto her mistresses, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in, somebody told this, heard this, and told his Lord, and told Naaman, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. This little servant girl told me this, I thought I'd tell you. Word traveled to Naaman. He was with his king, maybe they're planning their next battle. We're organize some training for those soldiers. And a servant comes in with this news. Good news was published. Good news was told, wasn't it? Hope was given. Look in verse 5. And the king of Syria said, Go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. That's a lot. How much is that? How much is that worth in our day? A lot. That's how much it's worth. They started out wrong, didn't they? He's taking all this silver, this gold, these fine clothes, these fine linens. You can't buy the remission of sins. You can't buy God's preacher. He can't go down there and get Elisha. And Elisha says, I'm busy. Well, I'm going to give you a bunch of silver and gold. I'm going to take you out of what you're doing and the Lord's work, and you're going to work for me this week. That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. They can't stop it. And that's the same with all the Lord's sheep. You know that. He hedges his people about. When he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, they follow him. They might turn a little bit, but they're going to follow him. He's going to hedge them about. You know how long they're going to follow him? For eternity. That's how long it's going to be. Peter told us, for inasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition of your fathers. That's our ideas. The ways that seem right. That's what a king told him. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Naaman wanted to be healed. He wanted to be healed. He knew he was a leper. He looked in the mirror every day. He saw himself. He looked down at his hands. But he brought the wrong payment and he went to the wrong person. Look here in verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover him of his leprosy? Going to the king will not help. He had to go to the prophet. Now, Elisha was not the prophet. He wasn't the prophet. He was the Lord's prophet in that day, at that time. Moses said, God will raise up that prophet. And him you shall hear. That's a promise. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that he's Lord. They're going to hear him, either in this life or after. He shall speak my words, and everyone that hears my prophet will be blessed. And those that hear not my prophet, I will require of them. Who is that prophet? Christ Jesus is our prophet. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. That's His prophet. Naaman went to the wrong place. He didn't go to the prophet. And today, men and women throughout this nation, throughout this continent, throughout this whole world, they go to the wrong place. Nothing was said to Naaman about going to the king of Israel. Did you know that? So I'm going to send a letter to him. He didn't say, you take it and go over there. This was his good idea. And nothing said to us in these scriptures about going to the front of the church, about going to the altar, about going to Mary, about going to the law. You got to do something. You got to clean your life up. About going to the baptismal pool or going to the sacraments or going to the preacher. Confessing yourself to another man. Nothing said about that. It says, go to Christ. Go to the prophet. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, come unto me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Those are definite articles. He's not a way. He's not a truth. He's the truth. He's the way. Word got to Elijah, didn't it? Some of the Lord's preachers have an ear to the ground and around their local assemblies and things that go on. I got a good idea of that paddock the Lord put them in and what kind of wolf's walking around the edges of it. You start learning those things. It says in verse 8, "And it was so when Elijah the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me. Don't trouble yourself, this man, I'll handle it. And he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha." Finally, Naaman, he's in the right place. Finally, he's right in front of the right person. Oh boy, that's good, isn't it? Oh, I'm in the right place. I'm in front of the right person. I'm good now. Everything's fine. Don't need nothing else. Oh buddy, his attitude was wrong. He stood at the door. He rode in there like chariots. That's like somebody showed up in limos today. And background music. I'm here now. Y'all ready? Where's this prophet? Wrong attitude. This general stood in a doorway and he wanted to be treated like a great warrior who happened to be a leper. Reality was he was a leper who happened to be a great warrior, and Elijah knew it. Elisha knew his pride. He knew his arrogance, and he wouldn't come out to meet him. He wouldn't chase him out in the parking lot. He wouldn't come to him. He wouldn't cater to him. He sent his servant out to him. And that probably wasn't that big of a building. This ain't that big of a building. I can make it to that door pretty easy and do my own talking, can't I? It's probably smaller than here. And he was like, you walk from there over there and go tell this general from another nation that might be at war with us tomorrow. You go tell him what I got to tell him. He knew his problem. He knew that Naaman had to be broken. He had to be humbled. And mercy's at the feet of Christ. That's where that adulterous woman fell, wasn't it? She didn't go to a door and stand. She fell at his feet. Kissed his feet. Bathed him with his tears. Dried his feet with her hair. Mercies are found at the feet of Christ. And that's where humble sinners fall. That's where they congregate. And this proud, arrogant general had to be brought down. And you and I have to be brought down all the way to the feet of Christ so He gets all the glory. Or you ain't got no hope. The Lord hadn't worked fully in you. Salvation hadn't come. Look at verse 10. "And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee. And thou shalt be clean." Not maybe. You got a 90% chance of survival. "You shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth. Oh, how mad he was. "And went away and said, Behold, I thought..." You notice those commas there? Boy, that's our problem. I think. That's my problem most of the time. "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me. He's going to come out to me. And he's going to stand. He's going to call on the name of the Lord, his God." The work hadn't been done yet. The Lordship of Christ hadn't come upon that man and say, "That's your God. I just want something from him. I just want some fishes and some loaves. I want some benefit in this world. I want my wounds to go away. I thought we'll go pray to his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. I thought we'll do a great miracle to me. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Where I'm from, there's so much cleaner water. Here you are, we've been shocked. We were in a drought in Southern California. We walked around today and I thought I saw smoke. We're worried about wildfires. Y'all worried about floods. And I thought I saw smoke. I said, "Babe, is that smoke?" I said, "I forget. The moisture hangs in the air in this place. The humidity, wouldn't it? Here there's just water running all over. Back in Syria, we got clean rivers. A lot better than this river. I'll go get in one of them, not in this dirty Jordan. May I not wash in them and be clean? Can I get clean over there?" So he turned and went away in rage. He was even madder now. The Lord's going to have to use another unnamed servant to reason with Naaman. Isn't that something? The Lord says, "Come, let us reason together." I've been stuck on that for weeks now. You can't reason with the Lord. What are we going to do? I'm going to tell him something? No, he's going to speak to us. And that's the humility he has when he comes to his children. That's the condescension of being made a man. He comes to our level and deals with us directly and tenderly, just as a father does a child. Isn't that right? Just as an elder brother does to a young child. his younger brothers. Verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. Look and live. Don't look to yourself. Look to Christ and live. That's what I tell you. If I told somebody, one, I would love to find needy sinners. I can't help a Pharisee. I can't help some theologian, some armchair theologian that wants to nitpick me. I got nothing for you. But if somebody's like, I'm a dying person. I've sinned against God. My sins are before me. And He's right to kill me. I got some good news for somebody like that. I got some good news for them. If I told that person, if they were a mercy beggar, so I need mercy from the Lord. And I said, all you have to do is go outside and rotate the tires of my car. If people are on death's doorstep and you're about to meet your Maker, eternity is right in front of you, and I said, all you have to do is go cut the grass outside. Would you go cut the grass? You'd cut the grass, you'd weed eat, you'd edge, you'd take a backpack blower, you'd comb it, make sure all the grass blades were with me. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Look to Christ and not to yourself. That's it. Look and live. Well, the Lord made him willing. His power had come upon him. In verse 14, and he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. He heeded his word. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. He was born again. Not from going in the river, but from obeying God. Hearing His voice, His power coming into him. And he was clean. God saved that leper. That leper was physically healed. Leprosy left his body. He had brand new skin, soft to the touch. That physically happened. Spiritually, God saved a sinner. That's what happened. He saved him from his sin. And where did he go? What did he do? Did he run for Congress? He went to the closest believer he could find. He went to another sinner saved by grace. That's the first place he ran to it. Look here in verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Your God is my God. Isn't that what Ruth told Naomi? Your God's my God. Your people's my people. Wherever you're going to be buried, that's where I'm going to be buried. I'm with you now. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. He's going to support the furtherance of the gospel in that place. He had all this raiment, all these nice changes of coat. He had 10 Armani suits. I guess that's the closest thing in our day. All this gold, all this silver. And at that moment, that meant nothing. I have Christ today. I need nothing else. That might as well be a barrel full of rocks. Take all you need. Is that what you need to buy food? You go get some. Take that with you. And he brought all his brethren with him, or all his company with him, to this man of God. I mean, Tom was talking about that today. First service they had in this church, I never told nobody this. First service they had in this church, it was packed to the gills, standing room only. My dad told everybody that worked for him. He said, I'll pay you 8 hours of labor if you come here to church. And that first week, buddy, it was packed. You mean I get paid 8 hours, going to listen to some man talk for 30 minutes? I'll do that right now. Fool wouldn't do that. Well, a couple weeks later, maybe half of them showed up. By the end of a couple months, none would come. I'll put you on payroll. I'll pay you eight. He told his company, you're going with me. I'm the general. You'll go where I go, where I tell you. You're on the payroll. You can't buy it, can you? And you can't pay for somebody else. But that man must have been a great man to do such a thing, to put his money where his mouth was. That money didn't mean nothing. His mouth was busy praising his God. But he said, you need it, you take it. Verse 16 says, But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Elisha said, I don't need your money. I don't want your offering. I'm just thankful that our Lord worked in you. That's my payment. Paul said, you are our epistles. That's my benefit. I want nothing from you. Verse 19, and he said unto him, go in peace. You're at peace now. You had a reason. There is peace. He's not crying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. Comfort you, my people, saith the Lord. Your warfare is accomplished. You go in peace, general. And so he departed from him a little way. How far did he go? A little way. He ain't going far from him, is it? That's my family. I'm going to hug up right next to him. That's got to take place if a proud general is going to know God. And it has to take place in every sinner whom God redeems. Because you see, God resisteth the proud. And He gives grace to the humble. And He's going to have to do it. He said in Isaiah, I swore by myself, the word has gone out from my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return unto me void. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord, that He is Lord. It has to take place. You see, if you miss that conviction, when the Spirit comes to convict men and women of a sin, then you miss repentance. If you miss repentance, you miss faith. Faith in knowing that Christ is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our wisdom. He is our redemption. He is our resurrection. It's a person. You miss that. And if you miss faith, you miss Christ, the object of our faith. And if you miss Him, you ain't got no life. And the worst hindrance you could have is breathing oxygen in and out of your lungs, and you think you're alive because your eyes blink and you sleep and you wake up and you eat. This has to happen. We must be brought from our lofty pride to the feet of Christ. Bowing to Him, worshiping Him, casting all of our crowns, all of our rewards and awards and everything to Him. Here's your silver and gold. Take what you want. It don't matter. I need Him. That's who we need. I pray the Lord will do that for His people.